Let's just pick it up. I know it's been a little while, so I'm just going to ask that we start by taking a look at Lamed Amud Beis. So, Emmanuel, if you don't mind, just let's start with Amar of Yehuda Hachika. Marakom Mitzvos Ha'avim Mutalos Ben Lasos La'aviv Echad Anashim Echad Anashim Chayavin, and then we'll go to the Mekoros there. So Lamed Amud Beis, right? So Tanina La'adus Hadar Rabbanon Ish Ein Li'ala Ish Ish Aminayik Shomer Tiro Arei Kan Shnayim. Imken matamadomer ish, ish sipek biyadala asos, isha ein sipek biyadala asos, from nature sus acherem alas, amar vidi barav and amarav. So then what logically follows is nisgarsha shenayim shavin. Okay, right, that she doesn't have that shibud anymore, so then they're both considered equal. Ish imo the aviv tira'u, hare kan shenayim. Fair enough. Okay, so let's take a look at the Sifra. It's always interesting. One of the things that we look to always have us do in preparation for Shir was compare the Bavlis with the Midrashi Halacha. When he was just a little older than you guys are, he decided that he didn't know Midrash Halacha well enough, so he took it on upon himself for that year that he would learn all of Midrash Halacha, a little older than you guys are now. We'll go through all the Mechiltas, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon Yochai, Taurus Kohanim, and Sifrei, and he used that for the rest of his life. He always had us compare the Bavlis and the Midrashi Halacha. I'm very grateful for it because it gives a whole different perspective on, people don't utilize Midrash Halacha. And there's great stuff there. You know, there's Ravid, the Taras Kohanim, Rabbeinu Hillel, the Perish of the Nitziv, if you want to get into Achronim. There's just a lot, there's a lot to be mined. Okay, so this is, I hope, a good example of that. Mehonecha in this case. So Emmanuel, why am I having you take a look at this? It seems almost verbatim. The answer is because it's almost verbatim. Eitan, what am I driving at? Soft eyes, Shimon Ross. Soft eyes. Way to take it all in. Why do I care? Observations like this is where Lumdus is born. The Bavli, right, the odds would be on suggesting, if you really believe, right, Nisgarsha Shneim Shavin Bo, so then what was it the whole time? Excellent. Who said that? KT. Right, the Sifra, on the other hand, might take the perspective that, yeah, it's an argument from silence. It's just a diuk. You can't prove it, but I don't know any thinking person that wouldn't contemplate that, as long as they were aware of it and they noticed it. The question is, what happens? Can you put the genie back in the bottle? Oh. Oh. So let's just bring back a point from the Rambam that Sariel reminded us of today, and we pointed out first yesterday. That when we talk about Rishos Acher Malaha, again, Shitas HaRambam in the Mishnayos, was that what? That's only with respect to Kavod. So who wants to spell it out? If Mora never went anywhere, A. And B, Kavod and Mora are conceptually inextricably linked, then C, what might we suggest? Right. That's much more in line with a Dechuya perspective. Right? It was just occluded for, you know, a short time by, I don't say short time, hopefully they have a long and happy marriage, but, you know, from the perspective of history, the blink of an eye, the kavod is there, right? And it's waiting to be chozer v'neir, but it's occluded. And that's definitely Shitas HaRambam. Right? We can prove that with the third point that we raised in the Rambam, namely that it's only with respect to those malachos that she has to do first and foremost for a baal, and she might not be able to do them in the context of the father or the mother. Fine. But the other completely distinct way of looking at it would be to say, you know, we challenge any number of these assumptions, all of them, or maybe some of them. And once she gets married, right, that kavod, her relationship with that mitzvah really changes in some kind of a fundamental way. And maybe nisgarsha or nisalmana, right, her life, you know, has changed. Right? It's binu ureha beisavia, but, you know, kivan shebagra, right? A woman goes through a developmental process. So yeah, ish imov aviv tira'u. Right, harein kan shnayim. Right, that might be true in terms of mora. You might say that, all right, she's never going to disrespect them. But in terms of her obligations of kavod, like her status changed. She became part of a different family. Eleich. She crosses a kind of a Rubicon in Ishus. Right, she joins his family. He's not joining her family. The mishpachosam, leveisav osam. Mishpachas av kriya mishpacha. Mishpachas emeinu kriya mishpacha. So that's a very extreme formulation. I don't doubt that. Truth could be somewhere in the middle. But I'm just trying to establish the polarity, right, in terms of how one might conceptualize what's going on here. So there is a diok that we're trying to, you know, really probe between the Bavli and the Medrash Halacha. We think it can, it's a good candidate to align with Hutra Dechuya. We know where the Rambam stands on the issue in the Parasha Mishnayos, so we'll try to, you know, get a little bit of a deeper perspective about that, but it certainly is a critical distinction, especially in light of the fact that the rest of the presentation, Emmanuel, as we said, is verbatim. And that's the one distinction. Okay, so let's get a little bit of a perspective. A lot of this, I think, will have to do with the relationship between Kavod and Mora. The closer they're linked, right, the more that I think you'd end up in the Rambam's, you know, basic gisha here, which is that it's a dechuya kind of a thing. But if we could really bifurcate, if we could drive a wedge between Kavod and Mora, it's hard for me to believe that Mora ever goes away for her. She can start calling her parents by their first names, Hayitachin, right? I don't think that's really possible. But in terms of the kavod expectations, maybe nisalmana and nisgarsha, it's not the same expectation. Just to give a very innocuous way of looking at that, and then we'll go to Tzvi. I mean, let's say she's, you know, nisalmana, she's, you know, she's a very elderly parents, but now she has, you know, Baruch Hashem, you know, 6 children and 35 grandchildren, and, you know, she's babysitting for them, you know, 4 times a week, and, you know, she's, you know, very busy. And that's sort of a tolda of Rishus Acher Malaha, which I'm saying we're not defining according to this approach, just in terms of what an Isha's Mechuyab is to do the Baila, Mizigas Akos, and Rechitas Panim Yadayim Veraglayim. but that her trajectory in life shifts. She joins a different family. It's not a, you know, the same expectations. Okay. Scribe?
If she's joining like the different family, like him, the husband has to respect his parents, so does now she have to respect his parents?
Excellent. Very good. That is an excellent question, right? That would really be interesting if she, there's like a law of conservation of kibud av v'eim.
Right.
Right.
And then what happens if she gets divorced? Is that the same?
Right. Exactly. Okay, so let's take a look at the, Emmanuel, let's take a look at the Sfarno and the Netziv, who I think both have interesting perspectives. Ish imo v'aviv tira'u. In this case, Zichronom Levracha. Yeah. I have no problem with you adding in that they were at Tzaddikim, but just want to make sure you know. Good old Pisioni. Who could pass up on the Pisioni? Right, that's a special kind of delicacy. We'll get there. So Yesh Mach Lave Pisioni Vitardo Mina Olam, right? And you forfeit your Olam Haba, and as you're not really Mekayim the Mitzvah. Right, and when the Gemara says "V'yish matchino berechayim," right, and these kona olamo that you know you could have your father, you know, grinding in millstones, and it could be a great, you know, kiyum. Aval says the Sfarno. Go ahead, Emmanuel. Okay, so Emmanuel, A, please define for me the way the Sfarno understands Ish Imo V'Aviv Tira'u, and then B, apply it back to our basic Chakira. Start with A and then go to B. Minakal Lokabed. What does he say first? Avi? First, what does he say? Then we can interpret. Ish imo v'aviv tira'u modifies our understanding of what din? Of kavod. It's a tolda of kavod. Kol tolda, it's better. I want to say that more precisely. Scratch that for the record. It modifies what kavod means. That you could be machel umashke somebody, you know, who's helpless, like a little third grader, and say, you know, here's your wacky Mac, and, you know, here, let me give you a little tricycle ride around the block. You don't deal with your parents that way. So to the extent that you're mechabed them, you know, b'chol minei kavod, machel umashke, ma'abis umachasa, motzi umachnes, you do it with reverence, right? Kin no ra'im etzlo. Shelo yakavod behem alofen shelibo gas behem, that you know, very often, if you're somebody's caretaker, right, you start to think in your own mind, you know, that I'm a big person around here. I'm the one who everybody's looking to for, you know, guidance. No, right? Don't invert the hierarchy, you know, in terms of what you're looking for. Okay, afal pi that's an example of somebody who gives his father, you know, superficially very good treatment, but it really is failing. We'll get to that case. Okay, so that's the definition. Now, Emmanuel, throw it back to you. How does that fit into our Chakira? We're saying that whether could be a question of how one understands the interrelationship between Kavod and Yira. We're hypothesizing that Yira probably doesn't go anywhere. So to the extent that Kavod does, we want to know whether Kavod and Yira are interwoven with each other. Absolutely. The Sfarno, not that he wrote a Minyan HaMitzvos, he didn't. But if the Sfarno had written a minyan hamitzvos, a minyan of taryag, what do you think is a very defensible position, KD?
That
exactly. that frankly, let me sharpen that, kavod would be a mitzvah, and the prat would be, al derech hayira. It's not a separate mitzvah. Okay? What about the nitziv? Emmanuel? Right, everybody knows the Gemara here, he says, but he wants to add. Mitsuyan! Nice. So what does the Nitziv want to say? Ishimo v'aviv tiro. We all know the drasha. It's not just the ish, but tiro harekan shnayim. But ish sipik v'adalasos, ishena. Sipik v'adalasos. But what does he want to say? What's the pshat in ish? In ish is always in Tanakh. A mechubad, right? So what does he want to say? That no matter, a person thinks that he's the big man on campus, right? His parents were just immigrants, scratching out a living on the Lower East Side, and he's a fancy pants, lawyer. He lives in the suburbs. The size of his closet is larger than his parents' apartment ever was. So he thinks, he's. And there's a chance that this could erode his sense of proper hierarchy. So the fiapshad, filu ish mitzuyan v'gadol maila me'aviv imo, right? Socioeconomic status is greater, right? They speak with an accent, he doesn't, right? So he's mechuyav, right, in the mitzvah just the same. Okay, so the tziv also is telling us that this tiro is meant to assert the hierarchy. He's taking this forward just half a step further, right? When is this really, most likely to happen? Satan dekatrig b'shasa sakana. It's most likely that people are going to lose that sense of hierarchy when they become very successful, right? He's saying to himself, my parents have no Twitter followers. They don't know what Twitter is. And here I have, 20,000 followers on Twitter. And that's not even counting my Instagram and TikTok. And look at them. They have no followers. They have no friends. Right? Goes over to their house and, they're busy wondering, why is the water bill more this month? He's worrying about, his latest post on Twitter. He thinks to himself, what kind of ghetto do these people live in? So the Nitziv is saying, in that situation, you have to be very, very sensitive. Okay. Taking this far, no step. So the Tva, back in our sugya, and this guy, Shishneim Shavin. Oh. So the Mitzvah says to lump this out, explicitly. So the reason that the Gemara needed to say this is because there's a Havam, that there really was Hutra. That's why we have this line in the Bavli. But again, it makes you wonder about the Sifra. If the Sifra doesn't have this line, is what the Sifra is saying, Kevin de Hutra Hutra? I think it's possible. And I think we've tried to provide the conceptual framework for that. Okay. Now, if you take a look at the Rif distills our entire Gemara into a very interesting way, just very thought-provoking. I'm not personally sure exactly how to make sense of it. So, Emmanuel, what interests me about the Rif? Right. He doesn't get into the discussion of Rishos Acherim, nor the discussion of Nizgarsha. It's very thought provoking. Did he think that wasn't a leap of the Hilchasa? I don't know. But the Rambam, who again, you know, generally speaking, 90% of the time plus, right in the Machane of the Rif, right, he brings it all back. Okay. So for the Rambam, it's clear as day. But there's a nuance here. The Rambam, it's absolutely clear that it's techuya, it's not hotra. The Rambam paskins nisgarsha and nisalmana, for sure. So that's as we would expect it. It's in line with what the Rambam said in the Perush and Mishnayos in terms of it just being for those malachos that nisha is mechuyeves lasos labalo, but there is one very important shift. Emmanuel, what's the shift that I'm after? The Perush and Mishnayos to the Yad. In the Perush and Mishnayos, what did the Rambam say with respect to Isha Rishas Acheria Maleha Ein Sipek Biad Alasos? Right. Mora never went anywhere. Why do I say that there's a shift? What do the words say? Katie? Yeah. Mora is right there next to cover. It actually even comes first. Ela sheish biadulaso, sheishen biadulaso, sheirishus acher malah. He's clearly talking about both Mora and Kavod. So that requires some thinking as well, because, I mean, it's a little hard to believe that were she in her parents' vicinity, you know, what? She wouldn't be obligated to, you know, and all of the things, the Omid become the Yoshi become the Sosar Estavar of the Machri Estavar. Hard to believe. That's what the Rambam says in Mamrim. The Torah and the Shulchan Aruch picked it up from the Rambam, substantively. Okay, go ahead, Emmanuel. Okay, so really just picked up the Rambam, the Mechaber now. Nisua. So the Mechaber does what? He does two very critical things. Shimon?
He explains what Rishu Acher Malah actually is referring to.
Good. So he narrows that, right? Mishua Bedes Labala. Right? This is going to be limited. It's not like she's not his Eved Kanani. The Shibud is going to be Le'inyan Kama V'chama Dvarim, presumably. We're going to have to see. But what then what followed from that? Well, I mean, yeah, that's what everybody says. But what's the KD?
Oh, Ptura.
Right. She's Ptura from what?
Oh.
Yeah. That's the story. Right? He says, no. This is not about Mora. Right? The actual language of the Rambam, as was noted, Echarisha, Echarisha, Chayav, Memora, Kavod. Sounds like both. Matur sounds like both. The Shulchan Aruch restores. He says, what do you mean, Mora? How could that possibly be? If it's based on a Shibud, it could only impact Kavod. And how you talking that Mora would go anywhere? So again, what we're trying to do is trying to figure out the precise relationship between kavod and yira, because we think that's going to be the key to trying to figure out whether it really is hutra or dechuya. It's obvious in the Rambam, the Pirush Mishnah, it's a dechuya perspective. It's obvious from the Shulchan Aruch that it's a dechuya perspective. The Ritva says that's the whole point of the Bavli. Because otherwise you would have thought that it's really hutra. We have open questions about the Sifra. I don't know what to say about that exactly. The absence of Niskarsha is very suggestive. Okay, so the Beis Yosef expands on what's written or distilled in the Mechaber himself, right? So the Beis Yosef writes, Echad ish, Echad ish, Shavim, Mechaber, Marash, Shalava, Eim, Meim, Reper, Kam, Dekidu, Shaperish, Rishu, Sacher, Maleha, Okay, so there you have the Beis Yosef working his way through it. He says, Acherim is only the Baal, it's particularly the Shibut to Baal, and once again, it's limited specifically to the din of Kavod. Okay, two more Mekoros, then we'll try to put everything together. So the Prisha, back on the tour, Rishus Acherim Aleha, Ratzalomer Baal Hashim Yeshua Abedes Lo, right, just like we find in the Shulchan Aruch and the Beis Yosef. The afal gav de gam ha'yishen ha'mechuyav l'far neso mishalo ki mishal aviv. We know that l'maisa, the finances that are used for the purposes of kavod, should come from the parents' estate, at least first. Mikol makom. Oh, so Emmanuel, what's the Prisha trying to say? Let alone? So it says, yeah, it's true that the Shibud Mamon, right, only kicks in if there's nothing Mishal Av. But what we talk about, Rishus Acherim Aleha, Eina Yechola L'chavdo Shimishubedes L'mlechas Bala, but he adds in something very important here, which might dramatically change the way that we understand things while they're married. We've said, if you make it about the shibud, we assume that it's pretty narrow, like the Rambam and the Pirush Mishnayos. It's those malachos. You know, the Baal gets the first dibs on Mesigas Akos, or Rechitas Yadayim, you know, Viraglayim, etc. But what does he say the shibud is? Diyukim! 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 Without diyukim, we die. There's no lamdas without diyukim. We die on the vine. It's just svaros. We're throwing around svaros if we don't have diyukim. What's the diyuk? B'chol Eis! Scribe, some of the time? All the time. Some of the time? All the time. Always. Wait a second. That doesn't sound like some checklist. If these are the malachos that she has to do for her husband, as long as she, you know, is a... efficient about it. I made his bed. I gave him mizigas hakos. I made his dinner. Rechitas panim yadayim v'raglayim. Good for the day. Check, 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 check. Go to mom and dad. That's how the priest understood it. B'chol Eis. Subscribe. What's the significance of this? Maybe. I'm not sure. How could you still say dechuya?
If the Baal's
milk, though, and he doesn't. Let's hold off on that. KD?
If she's divorced.
Well, yeah, then there's no Baal. But I'm saying, even if there's a Shibud Becholes, okay, right, that's what everybody was trying to say. She's divorced, you know, he's on the moon, he's in the International Space Station. But let's just say, in a normal case. Sorry, El?
It still says,
Okay, good. So you're getting at it just from a slightly different angle, but I totally agree. Because we have to make sure to keep our categories clear. Right? Hutra means that she's fundamentally not obligated. I don't think that's what the Prisha is saying. I think the Prisha is saying is that the scope of her obligations to her husband is so vast and so broad that practically speaking, there's very little that we can expect her to do, if anything. But on the books, who said that Kavod went anywhere? And I think, I'm trying to add to the discussion here, I hope it's some value added, that a very good reason to say that, right, is if you believe, and look how meduyak the words of the Shulchan Aruch really are, that Kavod and Mora are a package. The halacha is, Echad Isha, Shavim, B'Kavod V'Mora. Shavim, Shal Isha, Yen B'Yad L'Asa, Shem Yishuv Esla Ba'al, V'Yikach Yibtur, Mikibir Ava'im, Ba'od Nesua. So the priest will tell you, the way to understand this is, she really is, in a very broad sense, Ptura Mikibir Ava'im, Midin Dechuya, but Yira didn't go anywhere. And after all, Yira and Kavod are inextricably linked. Just read the Shulchan Aruch. Read it, right? Men and women are fundamentally obligated in the same way in Kavod and Mora, but once she gets married, pragmatically, it's very difficult for her to discharge it. The chilek between the Beis Yosef / the Rambam, the Pirush, and Mishnayos versus the Prisha is what our pragmatic expectations are of her. Our pragmatic expectations of the Rambam, for the Rambam, the Pirush, and Mishnayos, and maybe in the Beis Yosef, could be higher. Because there's a certain list of malachos that she has to do. Let her do those, and then she'll be, you know, perfectly able to, if not efshar l'kayim shneim, at least, you know, get partial credit. When it comes to the Prisha, you get the sense that he wants to give her a much broader p'tur, because her responsibilities to her husband are endless. B'choleis. He understands the husband-wife relationship in a very different kind of way. It's not a checklist, but those are just simonim. Those are just manifestations of her shibud to him. Right? You can make the shibud about these seven chores. You could say these seven chores are a reflection of the nature of the relationship. She should be around. His dinner might get cold. The coast that she was a mozeges might spill. These are obviously trivial examples, but it's a point that the Prisha felt the need to make. Emmanuel Aviad Sar Shalom.
Why would it come as a surprise that...
look it up, it's in Yeshayahu.
That it's the whole age, because we said that Kibbutz Avayim was something that was inexhaustible, so it would seem that the only way that the wife would be able to be exempt from Kibbutz Avayim would be if the kibbutz that she had to give her husband was also inexhaustible.
I think that's exactly what's driving the Prisha. It's met its match. You can say that again. I think that's why the Prisha felt the need to say that. The issue here is Becholeis, otherwise we wouldn't be having this discussion. I think that's absolutely right.
How would she then feel more up to her parents if she can't, if Becholeis she's to her husband, how is there any other time to do anything?
Well, again, the question is, what? How much time does Moa really take? I mean, Mora is really about a reverential, you know, perspective. And then the symptomatic of that is you don't sit in their seats, you don't stand in their place, you don't argue with them, you don't debate them. So it's more about, you know, Sheva Altasa in many respects, and that we would expect her to do. Sariel? I find it hard to understand. I have to acknowledge that the Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka, as opposed to Perush Mishnayos, does say that. I'm just saying Tzarech Iyun. I don't understand exactly what that would mean. That's what he says. They're grouped together. We can't separate them. And if she... It's just so hard for me to believe. If you actually quoted the Rambam and you asked him, is she allowed to be Omedes B'Mekomo? Is she allowed to be Soseres? It's hard for me to imagine. He would say, well, if she's married, it's okay. Right. I'm just toying with this as an idea. One way, the best that I could do is, like, let's say, Shelo Neda, but let's say there's a fight between her husband and her father. Right? So, right, maybe this is really the only situation that I can conjure up here, is that maybe in that kind of a situation, she would be relieved of some of the burdens of Mora, like she could come to her husband's defense, something like that. Maybe that's what the Rambam had in mind. But again, I find the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos much easier to deal with. It's exactly what the Shulchan Aruch insists on. Okay? I think the Prisha is a landmark here. And as important as the Prisha is, the Shach, in concept and in practice, is the most important of all of the comments in the Nosei Kelim in Shulchan Aruch on this Sif. There's no doubt. So, Lufika Chiptura, Emmanuel, with a little gusto, please. This is the Shach we're talking about. Chayeves, but what? Some things? All things. Chol davar. Now that, Rabosai, is the ultimate Duchuya perspective. If Rishus Acherim Aleha, if the husband's domain expresses itself in, no, by all means, what could I want from you more than the zechus of kibud avim? Not even the schar. Not even talking about the arichos yamim v'shanim. So the shach says that the chol davar, the chiyuv is exactly the same. If he's not makbid, so. Again, you still have to deal with Tosis' issue, which is why the Shach says Kol Davar Shefshar. She might just be much further away. She might not be physically capable, but anything she can do, she has to do. So we really have a range here. Bavli versus a Sifra. Sifra, possibly a Hutra perspective. That is how the Ritva basically understood it. The Ritva says, you need this line in the Gemara, otherwise we'd say Kevan de Hutra Hutra. That's the Diyuk in the Ritva. We have a lot of evidence that Kavod and Mora are deeply related. And if you think that Mora never goes anywhere, Allah, the Rambam, the Perush HaMishnayos, Allah, the Shulchan Aruch himself, right, as the Beis Yosef explains him, it's much easier to defend the Dechuya perspective. I'm arguing that even the Prisha is compatible with the Dechuya perspective. What he's just saying is that pragmatically, we really have no expectations of her, because she has to be Meshua Bedes Labala B'choleh. Svi wants to say, no, that's a Hutra perspective. I could see it both ways, but I'm more in line with this idea of, you know, B'choleh is still Dechuya. And the Shach says, you know, the cherry to top it all off is, if he's Mevater, if he's not Makbid, so she's Mechuyevis B'chol Davar V'davar. Then the Chiyuv is outright the same. It's no different than this Garsho and this Almana. Says, you know, why do you need this garsha and his almana? Just say, you know, he's mevater. So again, conceptually, I think you could explain why somebody would want to say hutra. That this is a natural process in life. You know, eilech. You know, achosenu atayil alfei rebava. It was, we raised you and now we send you off, you know, and she integrates into new new family. The mishpechosam leveis avusam. Right? And, you know, that's like a Rubicon for her. And just because the marriage might terminate 50, 60 years later, hopefully it's a good long marriage, right, doesn't mean that the Chiyuv of Kavod necessarily comes back. All right, Mora, chances are, this side of the Rambam, that it probably didn't go anywhere, but Kavod, she's, you know, at this point, she's moved on in life. She's very grateful. You know, that's what one might imagine. And her primary responsibilities are to the family that she built with her husband. So even if her husband is gone, right, nonetheless, right, they have children, they have grandchildren, she's responsible for that home to a great extent. They count on her to be available for those things. That's a kind of a Hutra perspective. But the Chuya perspective is, the ultimate Chuya perspective is, this is all just a narrow tour anyway, it's just certain malachos that come first. there's the broader, what I call broad dechuya perspective, which is the prisha, to say, no, she's meshubedes labala, like across the board. Becholes, she really has to be mezumenes, though. She just has to be there for him and whatever it is that he might need. And the shach comes to really, you know, drive that point home. The more one understands covenant mora is inextricably linked, I think the more the sugya tends towards a dechuya perspective. Just like mora doesn't go anywhere, hua denami with kavod, except that in practice it's difficult to discharge. And then we get into the nuances of just how difficult, with the priesthood being on one end, and the Rambam, the Pirusha Mishnayos, being on the other end. Is there evidence for covenant mora being linked? Yeah, of course, in the Gemara and in the Rishonim, and even some of the material that we added today, like the Sfarno and the Netziv, right? What they're clearly suggesting is that the way that one demonstrates kavod is biyira, no matter who you think you are, right? Who do you think you are? You think that you're, you know, somehow because you've got a bigger paycheck and you speak without an accent, you know, really because you had greater opportunities than they had, not because you're any better than they are, right? That you think that you're too cool for school. You know, so ish imo v'aviv tiro, that everybody has to acknowledge the parental authority. Okay, excellent. Questions? Tzvi.
If her husband told her not to have more of her parents, right, is she supposed to respect his, like, what he asks for, or, like how does that work?
Right, so, you know, it seems like be very, very, very difficult to justify occluding a mitzvah saseh. It's very hard to do that. So the level, her shibud to her husband is not an ideological shibud. Her shibud is either conceptualized as a series of obligations, as we spoke about, so the Rambam seems to say the Pirush Mishnayos, or if you take the Prisha's point of view, a much more fundamental issue, where she has to be there, you know, l'sharis oso. But that doesn't mean that, like, he can tell her what to think. Right? And mora is about a reverential stance.
Right.
So
it's not really the whole, like, it's, so, like, yeah. Okay, fine.
Right?
Yeah.
So again, the nature of mora itself just makes that a kind of an extreme possibility. But he can tell her, no, you know, I don't want you going to your parents tonight, you know, because I need you here to take care of X, Y, or Z. I'm not saying he should do that. Hopefully he doesn't do that. Hopefully the Shach is your guiding star here in terms of, you know, the right thing to do. But he could do that. But to say, you know, I need you here, and therefore next time your father says, you know, something, tell him he's a fool, which is a mora violation, that's hard to envision, right? Okay. Shimshi, go ahead.
Do you think her value would look at these relationships like we see by Nadarim and Haftara, where at first she's version of Avia, then she's version Bala, and then she, if she goes back home, then she's back version of Avia. If not, then she's version Akhma. Do you think there's a narrative comparing these two?
Right, that's what I was trying to talk about before. That's what I was trying to glean from Binurea Beis Avia, right? In some respects, right, she can v'shaval be'savia kinuraha milacham avia tochel. And sometimes we say, like, no, she's a bulgaris. There's no way, once a woman has been married, that her father is in charge of her kiddushin or gerushin, as we know. So that's on the hutra side. That it's not an indefensible position. That this represents a Rubicon for her. And once she gets, Shua, I'll take your question in a second. Right, once she gets to that place, maybe she's not chuzeres to where she was. Yeah, sure, go ahead. You sure? I thought I saw another hand in that area. Okay, very good. So, outstanding. This is the first, you know, sugya bichlal. Now this is the first part. We'll continue on tomorrow with the sugya of machala v'pisyoni v'tar demina olam and matchina v'reichayim v'kona olamo. This obviously one naturally leads to the other, so that will be the piece that we look at Mirza Shem tomorrow. Okay. Shkoach, guys. Very well done.